We're sort of at a turning point in our curriculum in some ways. You know, we started with Why Counsel and talked about motivation and all that sort of thing. And then we did some theoretical work yesterday morning, what makes biblical counseling biblical. And then we jumped into the key elements and talked about that and tried to lay out a framework for organizing what the scripture says about this process. And then you counseled John and Mary. You remember? Did such a marvelous job with John and Mary. They're now saved, baptized, and on the way to the mission field. Congratulations. Then Brent talked to you about the heart, and then last night we talked about walking the light. So we had a lot. We've really done a lot in a day and a half already. Now this morning we're going to talk about the doctrine of spiritual growth, the matter of progressive sanctification. Then right after this discussion, Pastor Green is going to come and talk with us about the matter of suffering, which is the other bookend of this particular presentation that I'm doing. Then you'll have a comparison of counseling philosophies, kind of laying this out along with some of the secular theories and trying to ascertain how what we're talking about is different than what those in the secular world might be saying. And then we're going to jump into just starting to talk about what this looks like in specific counseling situations. So we're going to start talking about the family, we're going to talk about sex, and just talk about a lot of things today. So this is a very, very important day. And I'm hoping you're finding all of this to be very, very beneficial to you. Now, the doctrine of progressive sanctification, we said in your notes that God uses a lot of different means to help his children grow. And this one, this particular discussion, is especially about the matter of overcoming sin. There's no question that God also uses suffering as a means of purifying us. And as I said, after our break, Pastor Green is going to come and talk to you about the matter of suffering. And you really need to view these two discussions as a set of bookends, because biblical counseling is not simply about sin. It is equally about the matter of suffering, and so that's why we organized it this particular way, where we'll have this discussion and then followed up by one on suffering, and hopefully that will put it together well for you. Now, why is the doctrine of progressive sanctification so important? And just so you know, we're using that term Christian growth, spiritual growth, progressive sanctification synonymously in this session. So, you know, don't think about, well, are there little nuances there that we're trying to make in this conference? We're really not. So I'll probably use them interchangeably even in this session. You'll hear them used interchangeably throughout this conference. Other phrases like spiritual formation, etc. Different people use different terminology, but we're talking, at least in general terms, about the same thing, and we're using them synonymously. But why is that so very important? One answer is because growth is a normal and expected part of the Christian life. And let me invite you to open your Bible now to Ephesians chapter 4, and let's just talk about how true that is. You realize we are in an ongoing discussion, I guess you could say it that way, about philosophy of ministry. And what is the best way to do a Sunday morning service? And how should you organize your church? And what is the purposes of the church? And what should it look like? What should it feel like? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And there are a lot of different pastoralogies out there. And you have to decide what place, if any, progressive sanctification is going to have in your view of what a church is supposed to be, in your view of what a church is supposed to do. And I think, I've always believed, that Ephesians 4, 11 to 16 is one of the most seminal texts in all the scripture when it comes to the matter of what is a church supposed to be like. And I think pastors, and I certainly believe Christian leaders, ought to be very, very familiar with this text. And so what I want to do, I want to read it for us, and then I want to ask you to be looking for every word or every phrase that speaks to or alludes to the matter of growing. And be prepared. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand and give us some examples of words or phrases, and tell us what verse you're taking it from. But words or phrases that speak to or allude to the matter of growing. Are you ready? Here we go. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, so the pastors could do all the work of the ministry, freeing up the church members to be out making big bucks. Is that it? Oh, well, then I guess that was good news for modern man. Let me come back and read it out of the NASB. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets, some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we're no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, but by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, I love this verse, from whom the whole body, none of this 90% of the work is done by 10% of the people thing, from whom the whole body, and being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, every one of them is involved in this process. According to the proper working of each, in case we didn't get it yet, each individual part causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Now, do you agree with the premise that the theme of this passage of Scripture is growth? And if you took Christian growth, sanctification, out of this text, there wouldn't be anything left. Do you agree with that? Now tell me, give me a word or a phrase in the verse from which it's taken that would speak to or allude to the matter of growing. What did you see in that text? What's one of them? Okay, building up in verse 12. Good. What's another one? Yeah, no more children in verse 14. What's another one? Yes. Yeah, equipping, verse 12. What's another one? In verse, become mature in verse 13. Good. What's another one? Yeah, grow up in all things, in verse 15. I mean, if you walk through this text, it's almost like word by word by word or phrase by phrase by phrase is all about the matter of growing. And yet, in how many churches is growth viewed as an option? It's almost expected in some places that, well, you know, Mrs. McGillicuddy has an anger problem. She always has and she always will. Or Mr. So-and-so has always been a little loose with the ladies and he's always been that way and he always will. As if it's okay to continue in sin for a long period of time and growth is optional. And that's why one of the things that we tell every person who is considering becoming part of this church is that growth is expected. I'm a really, really strong believer in the matter of strategic planning. So the document I'm looking at right now is our 5-year strategic ministry plan. I think every church, and I know for us, we want to have a specific explanation of exactly what we think God wants us to do over the next 5 years. And so this gives us an opportunity. We go through this process every 5 years. It gives us an opportunity to think about our strengths, to think about our weaknesses, to think about our opportunities, to think about our threats. We have our entire church family do a self-analysis of how they believe we are doing as a church. We mail things out to our neighbors. We publish it in the paper. We ask people to criticize us. And we ask people to evaluate us on how we're doing, what we're doing well, what we're doing that's not so good. And we get hundreds and hundreds of pages of documentation, of comments from people. And we publish all of that on our website. And you can go back on our website and read what was said about this church the last time we did it from anybody. And we do not airbrush it. So people said stuff about me that wasn't all that complimentary. Fine. That's all right. One of my favorite comments was this woman said, you know, I don't really like it when Pastor Byers stomps his foot when he preaches. And I took that, I went to my staff meeting the next time we had a meeting, and I said, you know, what is up with that woman? I mean, where is she getting that? I've never, like, stomped my foot one time in my whole life when I was preaching. And everybody's head kind of went down like this, which is a, that's a bad sign. And apparently I have this habit, maybe you've noticed it already, of when I'm making a point, I just do that right there. And we kind of have a hollow platform anyway, and it kind of makes a noise. And frankly, I kind of like that noise. And so, just because somebody says it doesn't make it so, or doesn't mean I'm going to change it. But we do invite anybody to say anything they want to about us. And seriously, we want to hear how people think we're doing, good and bad, and we want to do a lot of thinking about that. After we've gone through that process, then it gives us an opportunity just to refine our mission statement. Does your church have a mission statement? You should. And then to think about our core values. What are the things that are most important to us? Then through the grid of that mission statement and core values, we pour all of that data, all of that evaluation, all that criticism, all that whatever, and into that grid. And then we pull out of it, what are all the possible initiatives that we could do in response to this data? And what are the things that we could do to shore up our weaknesses? What are the things that we could do to act on our strengths? What are the things that we could do to seize opportunities and protect